Please turn with me in your Bibles to the Gospel according to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6 and verses 1 and 2. Matthew 6 verses 1 and 2. Take heed that ye do not your alms before men to be seen of them, otherwise ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. And our subject this evening is secret works. Secret works. Now we move into chapter 6 as we continue our series in the Sermon on the Mount. But just before we look in earnest at this first verse of the chapter, we remind ourselves of the very last verse in chapter 5. Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. And these words will help us and put us in the right frame of mind as we consider what is to come in chapter 6. But those words, of course, in verse 48 of chapter 5, they do not mean that we can be perfect. We know that we can't be perfect. The scriptures teach us that. And this is why we need the Lord Jesus Christ. This is why we need his righteousness. We need the righteousness of Christ, the perfect righteousness of Christ, because we cannot be perfect ourselves. If we could be perfect, we wouldn't need Christ. We wouldn't need his righteousness. But we can't be perfect. We fall in every way, and so we need his righteousness. And so therefore, when we consider that teaching, which is clearly taught in the New Testament, when we read those words, it doesn't mean that we ourselves can be absolutely perfect. So why does the Lord say it? Well, this is what we are to aim for. And we must continually remind ourselves of this. This is what we are to strive for. We as Christian people are to strive for perfection. If I can give a sporting illustration just before we leave this point, a football illustration. The new season isn't too far off. And every team in the Premiership, well, they will aim to win every match. They will aim to win every match. That will be their aim. They want to honour their fans. They don't want to go out to any match to lose that match or even to draw that match. They will go to win that match. And of course, nobody will win every match in the Premiership season, not even Manchester City. They won't do it. But they will try to do that. That will be their aim. They'll go out every match to be perfection, to win that match as best they can. And that's the same with us. Every day we get up, our aim is to be perfection. That's what we want to do, to honour God. Not fans, not football fans, to honour God. This day I'm going to get up and I'm going to do my best. I'm not going to do my half best. I'm not going to get up to fail this day. To honour God, I'm going to aspire to absolute perfection. We will honour God in that way. Of course, we won't do it, but to honour God, that is our desire. We will try. So that is a good way of understanding. Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. We aspire to all these things, but we can never attain unto it. They are too high for us. But now we come to chapter 6, and the emphasis in these first verses particularly will be on how the Christian conducts himself in his religious life. How are we to live in our religious life? What is our attitude to be as we live out our profession of faith? We are to have a certain attitude and a certain way of doing things that is honoring to the Lord. And the first instruction is this: take heed that ye do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. That word alms, and I'm sure many of you will have this in your margin, means righteousness, your acts of righteousness, your good works. That's what is meant here by alms. It's an umbrella term. And in the following verses, three acts of righteousness are going to be considered. We won't consider all of them this evening. In fact, we'll most likely only get down to verse 4. But three acts of righteousness, and that's the giving, particularly the giving to the poor. There's praying, and then there's fasting in the verses that are to follow. Those are the three things, the three acts of righteousness that we will consider. And these essentially are the works that we do as Christian people, our religious works. Every church will have its works. We're not saved by works, of course not. But works are the evidence. They're the evidence of our faith. Works are the evidence that we have the Holy Spirit within us. We can't see the Holy Spirit within us, literally, with our eyes. But the evidence is the works that we do. So every church, every Christian will have works, but we must have the right attitude toward our works and the things that we do as Christian people. And so the Lord says, take heed that ye do not your alms before men to be seen of them. We must not do our works before men to be seen of them. Now, this may initially seem like a contradiction to what the Lord has already stated in the previous chapter. Remember, in the previous chapter, Matthew 5 and verse 16, the Lord said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. And now the Lord is saying, take heed that ye do not your alms before men to be seen of them. So again, is this a great big contradiction? Well, no, of course not. There are no contradictions in the scriptures. Matthew 5:16. Well, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. And this is the important bit. And glorify your Father which is in heaven. Glorify your Father which is in heaven. That is the right way to do it. Let your light so shine before men that your Father in heaven is glorified. Now here in verse 6, people are doing their works before men so that they may be glorified. That's the difference. In chapter 5, glorify your Father in heaven. But here, people are being religious, doing Christian works, so that they may be glorified. And of course, that is wrong. And sadly, of course, this is quite common nowadays in modern day Christianity. It seems the church, the professing church, or a substantial part of the professing church, seems more interested in pleasing men and doing things to the glory of man and for the praise of men more than pleasing God. That is sadly the way that it is nowadays. The church is so desperate to be liked by the world, so desperate to be liked by the world, not God, to have the applause of men. That's what people want nowadays. Rather than seeking the approval of God, they desire the praise of the world. And where we see the results of that, the sad results of such an attitude, this is the wrong attitude to have. This is why churches have declined and compromised in such a great degree in our modern day. If you seek the approval and the applause of men, well, then they become your authority. They become your authority. They are the ones who dictate to you what you are meant to do in the church. Everything you do in the church will be dictated by men. And this is why certain churches have introduced worldly things into their church, to win the applause of men. This is why they've rushed to embrace in certain churches same-sex marriage, for example. Well, this really is for the approval of men. If we embrace this, if we take this doctrine into the churches, well, then the world will applaud us. God, of course, is against these things. God's word forbids these things. But the world will applaud. And therefore, this is why so many have given way and have desired to bring these things in. Women preachers also. The word of God forbids it. But the church allows it. Why? Because they want the applause of men. They want the approval of men. And this has become far more important than the approval of God. And they so often broadcast these things. They sound a trumpet before them. Look at verse 2. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Well, whenever a church embraces such worldly things and liberal things, they're never quiet about it. They don't do it undercover, as it were. So often it's published in the newspapers, and they're so proud about these things. We've introduced this and we've introduced that, and we're so liberal now, and the world must love us because of it. They sound these things. They sound a trumpet before them. And these things are so very sad. This is part of the reason why churches have declined. This is also part of the reason why some vital ministries have declined, or why some ministries are preferred more than others. You take perhaps the ministry such as, feeding the homeless. That's a ministry, I'm not criticizing it, but that's a ministry that gets the applause of the world. Feeding the homeless and clothing people and so on. These things are good, but many churches do these things. They love doing these things because they know that this will get the applause of the world. A Sunday school ministry, on the other hand, oh no, we don't really want to do that. Sunday schools doesn't get quite as much applause as feeding the homeless and going out and helping people. Sunday schools, oh no, well, the church is not so bothered about that because, well, the world doesn't really like it. And, well, we see that even with our Sunday school. Our Sunday school so often annoys people, annoys the neighbours. But we're doing it for the Lord. And His priority, He is priority, and we desire to please Him. So all these reasons, well, this attitude has crept into the modern churches, and they do make a difference. But we must honor the Lord and make Him our authority. And this is why the Lord Jesus Christ, well, He calls those who have such an attitude hypocrites. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. They're hypocrites because they present themselves as serving God, but really they're only serving men. Really they're only pleasing men. That's why they're hypocrites. We are Christians. We love God. We put God first. But actually in practice, we're more concerned about what the world thinks. And that's the great hypocrisy of it. And the Lord condemns this attitude very much. And well, ultimately, and these verses will prove these things, it's not just simply that they want the applause of men, but they want praise for themselves. It's a very self-seeking attitude and desire. And all these things we must beware of. We must all be careful that we do not fall into this trap. Some people, many people it seems, well, they come to church, they attend church simply to be seen of men. They don't really come because they're interested in the things of God. They come to church every Lord's Day morning because they want to be seen of men, to be coming to church, to be good people. Aren't I good by coming to church? and sitting and attending. People can serve in a church, serve in a church to be seen by men, to be serving in a church, to win the approval of men. And I fear this is quite common also. I know some people, they work so hard in a church, but when you try and question them about why they're serving so hard, ultimately it's because they want to please people. They want to please the pastor, or they want to please the deacon, and so on. There doesn't seem to be much love for the Lord in their service. Some people even, they profess to be Christians, to please other people, other men. This is quite common in youngsters. Youngsters will profess faith, they will say they're Christian, to please not God, to please their parents, because their parents want them to be saved. And so they'll go along with it to please them, to please men. Not God, they don't have any interest in God at all. But I want to please my father, I want to please my mother, I want to please my Sunday school teacher. Therefore I will pretend I'm a Christian. And that's a terrible thing. Youngsters, don't ever let that temptation come into your mind. I'm going to be a Christian to please my parents. That's entirely the wrong thing. And this is what the Lord Jesus Christ is warning against. You must come to the Lord in the right way. Everything that we do is out of love for the Lord and obedience to Him. Otherwise, well, we have no reward. There will be no reward for us, no lasting reward, at least. Look at the end of verse 1. Otherwise, ye have no reward of your Father, which is in heaven. And then at the end of verse 2, speaking of the hypocrites, verily I say unto you, they have their reward. If you live to please men, even in a religious life, well, you only have a temporary reward. You'll have a reward, but only a temporary one. You'll be well liked in the church. Everyone will like you, perhaps. Everyone will point to you and say, what a hard-working person that is. But it'll only be for a short time, only as long as you live. When you die and when you stand before God, well, God will see the true motive of your heart. He will say to you, yes, you did all those works, but it wasn't because you loved me. It was because you loved the approval of men. It was because you loved the applause of men. Their praise meant more to you than I ever did. God will see the true motive of your heart, and there'll be no eternal reward for you. So we have to examine ourselves. What are we working for? What are we coming to church for? Is it to be seen of other people, or is it because we love the Lord, we desire to honor Him and please Him? We must be those who are earnest and sincere, otherwise there will be no eternal reward for us. Otherwise our reward will only be temporary. We already have it, and it won't last very long. So strive to do all for the approval of the Lord. But then let's look at verse 3. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret. That thine alms may be in secret. Well, this is specifically talking about giving to the poor when thou doest alms. But again, we can apply it to any good work that we do. That thine alms may be in secret. You know, our good works, the good things that we do, they're the only things that we are permitted to keep secret. The only things we're permitted to keep secret. We're not allowed to keep anything else secret. We're not allowed to conceal our sins. If we do bad things, we're not allowed to conceal them and hide them from others. We're to confess them certainly to the Lord. And if we need help in overcoming our sins, we're to confess to others as necessary. We're not allowed to conceal our sins, but our good works, those things that we do for the Lord is exhorting us, keep them secret. keep them secret, that thine alms may be in secret. Don't publish them abroad. Don't sound them out with a trumpet. And then in verse 3, well, we had those words. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth. Now, this seems very mysterious to understand, but it can be easily explained in this way. The first verses that we have considered, they've been exhorting us not to announce to others what we have done. Don't sound your trumpet about your works. Don't broadcast your works before others so that you may be praised by others. But these words here, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth. Well, that is saying, don't even broadcast it to yourself. Don't even broadcast it to yourself. You don't broadcast your good works to others. That's clear. But don't even broadcast it to yourself. In other words, don't get puffed up yourself with your own good works and think to yourself, oh, I'm such a good person. I did this the other day, and I did that the other day, and I didn't even let anyone know. I'm such a good person. Don't let your left hand know what your right hand doeth. Don't let yourself get carried away with your own righteousness. That is not how we are to be. Don't dwell on them. Don't admire your good works, as it were. Just move on to the next thing. You do a good work, you forget about it, and you move on to the next thing. You don't dwell on those things. And this is supported in the scriptures in many places, but I turn you, just as we begin to come to conclusion, to a couple of verses. If you turn with me to Luke chapter 17 and verse 10, we'll only look very briefly. We could look at the whole parable in this portion. But Luke chapter 17 and just simply verse 10. Luke 17 and verse 10, these words of the Lord. So likewise ye, when ye shall have done all those things which are commanded you, say we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. We have done that which was our duty to do. You see, when we do good things, and many of us do good things, we don't get carried away with them, and we don't get puffed up with them. This was our duty to do these things. We're just doing what God has called us to do. We're not doing anything special. Sometimes you meet people, you meet tradesmen or plumbers or electricians and all that, and they do a good job, and you thank them very much, of course. You're so happy that they've done such a good work. And so often, what do they say to you? Oh, I'm just doing my job. I'm just doing my job. It's nothing special. I'm just doing my job. And that's how Christians ought to be. We ought not to get so puffed up. We're such wonderful people. We're just doing our jobs. And that is what this verse implies to us. We are unprofitable servants. There's no profit to be made from us. We're doing the bare minimum. We have done that which was our duty to do. We don't have any right to get puffed up with ourselves and with the things that we do. And then if we turn to Matthew 25, which was our second scripture reading, Matthew 25, and we'll begin at verse 34. Matthew 25 and verse 34. Well, this is the Lord speaking about the last day when the Lord comes again with the holy angels. And the sheep and the goats are divided. And verse 34, then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. But look at how the righteous answer. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee, and hungered, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? Look at the characteristic of the righteous. They're not puffed up with their own works. They have done many good things, yes, and the Lord commends them. But according to the righteous themselves, they're saying, when did we do these things? When? As far as we were concerned, we were unprofitable servants. We were only doing those things that we ought to have done. They didn't mean that much to us, as it were. We're not that special. We'd forgotten about all these things. This is the great characteristic of the righteous. They're not puffed up. They're surprised almost at the commendation of the Lord. And well, the Lord has seen their secret works, and he rewards them openly. He will reward them openly at the very end of time. And so with that, we turn back to our passage in Matthew chapter 6, and we'll close just thinking upon those final words in verse 4, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. Well, we've just read it. Nobody else has seen our works. We have forgotten them. We have put them out of our mind. We know it is our duty to do these things. But our Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. Dear friends, this is a glorious thing. We are not to reward ourselves, in other words. We so often get tempted when we do good things to get pleased with ourselves and to start rewarding ourselves with various things, telling other people about what we've done and getting carried away ourselves. But our reward is in heaven. Our reward is with the Lord. Wait until that time. He will reward us. And we have to know and we have to believe that that reward is worthwhile. That's part of our faith. Faith in God, what is it? Well, it's faith, of course, that God exists. It's faith in Christ and what he has done, making atonement for our sin. But faith is also that heaven is worth waiting for, that our reward in heaven is worth waiting for. We don't have to reward ourselves here. We can deprive ourselves here. We can deny ourselves here. Why? Because we have faith that when that reward comes at the very end, it's worth waiting for. That's faith. All these things are compartments of faith. So often we have faith in the other things, but we don't think that heaven is worth waiting for. I need to reward myself now. But the Lord is saying here, the Lord will reward thee openly before the world, before all men, and that will be worth waiting for. Well, these are glorious things to consider, and I won't go into the following verses because that will take us too deeply into other things. But may the Lord bless these things to us and help us. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, our gracious God and our loving Heavenly Father, oh, dear Lord, we do pray that thou wouldest work in each and every one of us, move in us by thy Spirit, that we may attain to the standard that is shown to us in thy word, and particularly in this glorious Sermon on the Mount. Lord, may we not be hypocrites. May we not present ourselves as Christians and yet seek the approval of other men and the applause of the world. Oh, dear Lord, what hypocrites we are if we act in such a way. Lord, help us to do all things for thee and for thine honour, to do those things that are only pleasing in thy sight. Oh, Lord, forgive us afresh all our sin in time past and help us that we may walk worthily of this our calling. We ask it all in our Saviour's name and for his sake. Amen.